Please turn in your Bibles to John 18, beginning with verse 28. In the Bible, it describes a particular church in the book of Acts, the church of Berea, and it says they listened to Paul, and then they searched the scriptures to find out if it was true. And I want to commend you today on this Sunday where you lost an hour of sleep and you still got here to the first service. Amen. Some of you aren't quite sure about that decision, but I'm so thankful you're here. And every Sunday we're learning about Jesus in the Gospel of John. And today we are going to answer the question, what is truth? This is a question that Pilate asked Jesus. This is a question that maybe you have asked yourself, you've asked your friends, you've asked people around you. Maybe you've gone to church many years, and the bottom line is you need to decide what is truth. The answer to this question, what is truth? Because if you don't get that figured out, you're going to be one lost person the rest of your life, wandering around trying to figure out what you should be doing. And so March 11th, 2018, we're going to make a decision today. When you see that door behind me, this is a reminder. We're going to be talking about the Passover lamb on Good Friday. You don't want to miss that service, a Friday night at 7 o'clock. We are going to dissect the Passover feast and the Good Friday experience and push them together into an amazing understanding of the work of Christ on the cross. Good Friday, 7 p.m. And then Easter, we're adding a Saturday night service, and we're going to talk about this door. We're going to talk about the strength and power we have with Jesus when we walk through that door and find his strength in our lives. So you want to invite your friends and family. We have some handouts in the lobby. You can take it to work with you and hand it to somebody. Invite them to the Easter service, because this upside-down world needs to know Jesus. Amen? So that's the whole plan we're having in the next few weeks. So stand with me. Let's look at God's Word. John 18, beginning with verse 28. We're in the middle of the trials of Jesus. Jesus had six trials that he had to face a judge. And now we're looking at this time before Pilate. So, verse 28, they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves, judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. He had prophesied that he'd be handed over to the Gentiles to be killed. So this was a fulfillment of prophecy. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now, Barabbas was a robber. Father in heaven, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The Passover lamb without spot, without blemish, shedding his blood for the sin of this world. Lord God, thank you for your gift to us. Thank you for your willingness for your Son to be betrayed and to be lied about and to be put on a cross for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to draw close to you. Lord, if there's someone in this room today that is confused about truth, they're confused about the path that they should take, they're confused about what door to enter in their life to follow, Lord God, help us to hear your voice today. You say that the good shepherd loves his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice. Lord God, may we hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So here's the question I have for you this morning. How bad do you want to know God? How bad do you want to know his truth? How important is it to you? I'd like to show you a diagram of the temple, of what it looked like 2,000 years ago. And in this picture, you're going to see the Holy of Holies, that tall building in the middle. There's a holy place in front of the Holy of Holies, and that's where the glory of God was to be residing, as it did originally. And then they had a huge courtyard where the Jewish people and the Gentiles to gather and to worship the Lord. It was an amazing place. We've been actually on that site, and it is huge. I mean, it is huge. If you notice these tall pillars on the right, upper right side of the temple courtyard area, the Temple Mount, that is called Antonio's Fortress. That is where Pilate most likely would do his business, where the Roman soldiers would do their business. They built that on purpose so that they could oversee what the Jewish people were doing. When the trial of Jesus was happening with Pilate, he was in that space. And so the Jewish people, strangely, do not want to get defiled by going into a Gentile residence. So they are down below there, and they are shouting and yelling at Pilate and telling him what he needs to do with Jesus. Jesus is in that fortress area, and they are coming out, and Pilate is talking to the Jewish people because they don't want to defile themselves. Why? Because of the Passover. They're right at the Passover. Oh, what a spiritual time that will be. And just before their spiritual moment of the Passover, they are yelling, "Crucify him," to Pilate. And this is the moment where we learn about truth. How can we know for sure what the truth of God is? And Jesus will help us today. Number one, you need to seek the truth. You need to seek it for yourself. There is a reality in your walk with God that no one else can do for you. John 18, verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again, called Jesus, said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now, by the way, Pilate mentioned that Jesus was a king four different times during this trial period. Verse 34. This is Jesus talking back to Pilate. "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Now, this is a strange question. You might think Jesus is not answering the question directly that Pilate asked. He is answering the question with the question. By the way, Jesus does that a lot. And what he's doing is he's digging deeper. He's digging deeper into the real struggle that is going on in the heart of Pilate. And so, may I say it a different way? I'll ask you the same question. Do you personally want to know, or are you saying what others want you to say? So somewhere in your life, your journey on this planet Earth, you're going to have to figure this question out. Are you interested in the things of God? Are you seeking a relationship with him? Or are you going through the motions, doing what you're supposed to do because of what other people have said, what other people have told you? You are even here in this room this morning because somebody wants you to be here. And if you had a choice, you'd be somewhere else. Let's be honest. Now, Jesus had a lot of problems in the trials that he was in, and they were called false witnesses. And false witnesses were other voices that were coming at Pilate, telling Pilate what he should believe. And you're going to hear lots of voices in your life of people of authority that are going to tell you what to believe. The false witnesses concerning Jesus, they said Jesus was misleading the nation. "Pilate, you need to stop this man. He's misleading the nation." False witnesses said, "He is telling people to not give tribute to Caesar. By the way, that was not true. In fact, he pulled a coin out of a fish's mouth, or he had Peter do that to give the tribute. So there's not any. In fact, he says, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's." So he's not an anti-giving tax to Caesar. I think all of us wish that he was, so we could have a reason to not pay our taxes, but that's not what Jesus teaches. And then they also said that he himself is the Christ, the King, and that has truth to it. And by the way, when Satan lies, many times he takes truth and then he just twists it a little bit. And the definition that they gave was that he was wanting to overthrow Pilate because he was a king. Now, you might have a belief about Christianity this morning, and you got your belief from listening to somebody else tell you what the truth was. Maybe you went to university, or maybe you read a book, or maybe you listened to talk radio, or maybe you have a coworker, and maybe you heard things like this. These are what I would call cliches about Christianity. There is no truth in them, but people repeat them, and if you repeat a lie enough, then you kind of believe that it's true. This is a very common one people say about Christianity. Don't you know the Bible is full of contradictions? And so they use that to put this book aside and not ever look at it. Though they have not discovered it themselves, they're just repeating what somebody told them. Don't you know that the many translations out there can't be trusted? They haven't really studied the authority of God's word and the reliability of the manuscripts, that it's overwhelming, but they have repeated a cliche. Any religion, some people say, that claims to be the only way has to be wrong. Why would you be a Christ follower? They're a bunch of bigots. They think they're the only ones that are right. Have you heard this one? A justification for not being a Christ follower. Don't you know that all Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites? You know? And so you repeat that long enough, and maybe you do have some awareness of that truth in people that you've known. And so then it becomes now an excuse for not going after Jesus. And so we repeat the cliches over and over again. And Pilate had heard all these false witnesses, and now he had come to a place where, I don't know what to believe. And so Jesus asked this very key question, Pilate, are you seeking the truth for yourself, or are you just repeating the cliches that you've heard? So I'm going to ask you some hard questions this morning that you need to ask yourself. Whatever your belief system is, whatever your worldview is this morning, you have a worldview. Did you know that? How you look at life and how you look at truth. Can I just ask you this question? What is your authority for truth? Now, I put poor little Ryan on the spot here today with the kids' story, didn't I? Ryan, really? You are going to disagree with Pastor Phil in front of all these people. I mean, that was like his eyes got a little big. It's like, I don't know. I guess I am. Well, you know what? If your authority for the truth is the opinion of people or somebody that's in authority, power, or whatever, and that's all you got, you're in trouble. You need to decide a stronger, more powerful authority for your truth. And I want to tell you, the Word of God is where you need to go. Number two, do you have an interest in spiritual things? Now, some of you don't understand that when you were created, God created you to have a relationship with Him. That you are created a physical person and a mental person and an emotional person, but you also were created to be a spiritual person. You know, there's a place in your heart that has only been created that has a spot for Jesus. Now, you can push that aside. You can ignore it. You can try to fill it with other stuff, and it will never satisfy. You're going to have to come to a point where you're going to say, I want to know Jesus. And if you don't ever come to that place, Jesus doesn't force his way into your life. So you have to answer that question. Do you have an interest in spiritual things? Number three, if you are missing the truth, now watch this, let's just assume, if you are missing the truth about God, about heaven, or hell, and you are missing it completely, would you want to know the truth? Or, no, I'm fine. Okay, heading off a cliff, I'm fine. I don't want anybody to warn me. Really? Wouldn't you rather have a warning that if you do not deal with your relationship with Jesus now, you will deal with that lack of relationship with Jesus for all eternity? Question 4, are you willing to study God's word yourself for the answers to the questions concerning truth? So somewhere along the line in your search for truth, all these voices, all these ideas are coming at you, and you've got to decide, I'm going to dig in and figure this out myself. The problem is, here's something you know very well right now, our culture is flooded with information. I mean, we got Alexa, we got Google, we got Siri, we got voices, we can get information like that. But where's the truth? You know, there's a difference between information and truth. Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." So this is the question. Are you hungering and thirsting for a relationship with God? And then you're going to find it. But if you don't care, you'll never find it. 1 Chronicles 28:9, if you seek him, he will be found by you. He's waiting for you to seek him. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you. You see, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to decide, I'm going after truth. And I will not be satisfied until I find the truth that God has given to us. Now, number 2, you need to seek truth regardless of your background. So some of you have made an excuse that this is not for you. You don't need it. It's for other people. So Pilate falls into that logic in verse 35. He says to Jesus, am I a Jew? In other words, this is a Jewish thing. Your own nation, your own chief priests have delivered you over to me. Your own Jewish leaders have declared that you're not worth following. John 1:11, by the way, says he came to his own people did not receive him. You might be here this morning thinking that that Jesus is not for you. Maybe it's for your parents or your grandparents or for those certain religious people. When you start traveling around the world, and we've done several mission trips, there is an amazing thing. I had never even had this idea before. But you know that most of the world thinks that Christianity is not for them. Did you know that? I want to tell you that Christianity is not only a Jewish thing. That'd be surprising to the Jews today. But in the first century, Jesus was a Jewish Messiah, they thought. And so if you were not a Jew, they didn't think it was for them. Now listen, Christianity is also not an American thing. Did you know that? And you go to third world countries and you try to present Jesus to them and they go, oh, you want me to believe the American Jesus, the American faith or religion? No, it is not an American thing. It is not just for whites. It is not just for blacks if you're in the Southern Gospel. It's not just for the browns in the Latin communities. It is not just for a certain ethnic group. It is not just for the, listen, some of your coworkers have said this to you. It is not just for the weak who need a crutch. Oh, you need Jesus. You must need a crutch. I don't need a crutch, so I guess I don't need Jesus. And some people have dismissed Christianity because it's not for them. Now watch this next one. It's not for the wealthy that give big offerings. You might think, I have no offering to give. I have no finances, so I'm not sure I fit in that church. I want to tell you that's a lie from Satan. You might have dismissed Christianity because you thought Christianity was only for the good people who have stayed out of trouble and you've made a mess of things, and you go, I guess I can't be a Christian anymore. And isn't it interesting how Satan throws a lie at us, just like Pilate is beginning to believe a lie that somehow he's not part of the group that Jesus is reaching out to, that somehow he is not part of that. And I want to tell you that Jesus has come to this world. There is no geographical boundaries. There is no ethnic boundaries. There is no educational boundaries. There is no financial boundaries. There is no social boundaries. There is no moral boundaries. When I say that, means if you have morally messed up your life, Jesus still loves you and is reaching out to you today. One of the refreshing things, just watching many, many videos about Billy Graham's ministry through the years, I don't know, what a great reminder it was that he went to China with lots of criticism, and they showed a video this last week where millions were coming to Jesus because of the gospel being presented. In Russia, it was very unpopular when he went, and millions were coming to faith in Christ. He went to Korea, North Korea, and South Korea, and millions were coming to Jesus. Africa, India, South America, over and over again. The message that Billy Graham tried to present is the same message that we share here at South Hills Church. We don't care what your background is. We believe the good news will change your life. So you seek the truth regardless, and I use that word regardless. You just fill the blank in. Regardless, whatever excuse you had, just put it aside because Jesus still wants you to know him. Now, number three, you need to seek spiritual truth. So there's all kinds of truth you might think out there. You can discuss the truth of which basketball team is going to win the March Madness and who's got the... I mean, people are just experts all over the place. They'll tell you exactly who to believe in and which football team's going to have the best draft and whether, you know, whatever. And so everybody's looking for truth. How about the truth of the economy and the stock market and the truth about which politician has the best answer to the problems of the world? And then we have the refreshing words of Jesus, John 18, verse 36. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. Oh my goodness, what a refreshing word. Do you know when you follow Jesus as the king of your life, it is not a physical or material or external kingdom. You're going to still keep living in your kingdom of this world. You're going to still living in the world, though you're not of the world. You're going to still have a boss, good and bad and ugly. Excuse me if you're a boss. I didn't really mean the word ugly. But you're still going to have the same financial obligations. You're going to still have the bills to pay. You're going to still have the same government that oversees our local and community and national and the same world that we're all living in yesterday and then now today. That's not going to change, but we're not talking about a political kingdom. We're not talking about a human government. So my kingdom is not of this world. Next slide, please. So if you're looking for some physical, external, outward answers, Jesus is not talking about that. In fact, he goes on and says, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. I love this. It's like Jesus is saying, if this was a physical match, if this was a physical bout, if this was a physical fight, Pilate, I have to tell you, you'd have no chance. Okay, because my army is the heavenly hosts. My army is millions upon millions of soldiers that do not lose. My army, if they hear the word fight, they will come and they will win. Pilate, let me just say it to you, Pilate. My army is bigger than your army. Okay, so now, if you want a physical fight, bring it on because you're not going to win. But I want to tell you, this is not about a physical moment here. And then he says these words, but my kingdom is not from the world. Aren't you glad that the kingdom of Jesus is just not another thing from this world? I mean, if you're believing in some worldview that's just another man-made idea of how to fix the problems of this world, I feel sorry for you. Because your only hope is just like horizontal. That's all you got. Well, hopefully this person or this idea or this philosophy will fix things. And if that's all you got, I feel sorry for you. Because if you're a Christ follower, guess what? We are looking up. And we're seeing another kingdom that is in control. And there's another king that's on the throne. The word of God is clear. Jesus has a kingdom, and he is the king. Okay, let's just review his life for a moment. You remember at his birth, what did the Magi say? They came to worship what? The king, Matthew 2:2, that had been born. Nathanael, early in his ministry, what does he say to Jesus? You are the king of Israel, John 1:49. Palm Sunday, hear the words of the crowd. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the king of Israel. It was prophesied by Gabriel to Mary. Of his kingdom there will be no end. So when we think of Jesus, we are thinking of a king and we are thinking of a kingdom. When you come to Jesus, Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, amen, and transferred us, amen, to the kingdom, yes, of his beloved Son. So when you come to Jesus, it is a kingdom decision. You are deciding, no longer am I going to be bound by the kingdom of this world. I'm going to another kingdom, and his name is Jesus. His kingdom is what I want to be under. Daniel 7:14, his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So you're saying, I want the kingdom of heaven to be the kingdom I'm going to focus on. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You can be in the midst of the darkness of this world and have the light of Jesus inside of you. You can have his joy. You can have his peace. You can have his righteousness by the Holy Spirit, and you're living in the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdom of this world. John 3:3, here's the question Jesus asks. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you have the kingdom of this world. You got that figured out. It's confusing. They got their ideas. They got their opinions. I want to tell you, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. You need to come to Jesus, and you put your faith in Christ. And when you do that, you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of Jesus. And I want to tell you, if you're looking for truth, truth is found in the kingdom of Jesus, following Jesus as my king. If you'd make that decision, I'm going to put Jesus on the throne of my life. I'm going to say, Jesus, I declare you the one in charge of my life. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to tell you, in that place, you're going to find truth. So let me kind of summarize number four here. What needs to happen if you want to find truth? Well, you're going to have to seek Jesus. You're going to have to choose Jesus. You're going to have to follow him. And listen to him. So that's a decision. If you want to know truth, you're going to have to make a decision. So Pilate is kind of on the fence. At least he thinks he is. Verse 37. So Pilate says to Jesus, so you are a king. Because he just declared that his kingdom was not of this world. So okay, you are a king. And Jesus says, well, you say that I'm a king. Now listen to the words of Jesus. It's powerful. For this purpose, I was born, and for this purpose, I've come into the world. And in that one sentence, he tells us the theology of the identity of Jesus. In that one sentence, we learn that he is 100% man. His humanity is declared. Jesus says, I was born. Okay, I'm not an alien just kind of flying in and landing from an outer space. I was born of a woman. Born, humanity, 100% man. And then he says, and this purpose, I have come into the world. And now we hear his declaration of his deity, that none of us have pre-existed. Our birth is the beginning. Our conception is our beginning. We did not exist before that, no matter what some religions teach. The Bible teaches that the only pre-existent one is Jesus who came from heaven. And here he says, I was born, I have come, I am 100% man, I'm 100% God, and I have come, and listen to what his purpose is for coming, to bear witness to the truth. Man, if you're looking for truth, here's the one. He's come from heaven. He knows us. He's a man. He's God himself in the flesh, and he has come to bear witness to the truth. Now, you might think, well, how do I know his truth? And then he tells us, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. You might think, well, how do I know the truth? Well, have you been listening to Jesus? Well, I don't know. Well, let me give you another verse. John 7:17. It is a life-changing verse. For Jesus says, if anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own authority. So he says, now the problem is not that I'm not presenting truth. The problem is that you don't want to do the truth. And if you are not willing to follow the truth, then you will never know the truth. You see, you have to come to a place of humility. You have to come to a place of surrender. And you have to say, Lord God, I want this relationship with you. And I want to do things your way. And I want to live in your kingdom, not my own kingdom of my own making. And when that heart is surrendered to God, the truth shines. The revelation of God himself shines into your heart. John 19:15 tells us the problem that the religious leaders had. Here's the problem. When they declared to Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. What they're declaring is not just a physical situation, but they're declaring a spiritual reality that they do not see God as their king. They do not see Jesus as their king. They have no spiritual focus at all. They are seeing survival mentality in the Roman Empire. Can you imagine the heartbreak of God when God said to his people over and over again, I want to be your king? Can you imagine the heartbreak of God when he hears them say publicly with declaration, we have no king but Caesar? You know what? God's heart breaks when you say the same thing. When we say to God, God, I don't need you. I got this. Judges 17:6 says, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Well, we don't need God to be our king. We got this figured out. Guess what? That leads to rebellion, a hard heart, and the judgment of God every time. Verse 38, so Pilate has this question. You might think it's a great question. You might think it's a neutral place. I just want to live in neutrality and not have anybody be mad at me. So you might have said this, well, I don't know, what is truth? I mean, can anybody really know? You see, the problem with our world today, our upside-down world, is that we have a world today without a moral compass. So people are just kind of floating around, and there's no objective, absolute direction. We live in a world of relative truth. That means if it works for you, go for it. If it works for you, go for it. And we live in a world that is desperately needing truth. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years. Pilate's in the same place that we're in today. What is truth? I don't know. After he said this, it says in verse 38, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. Do you know that three times during the trial of Pilate, he declares the innocence of Jesus? This is a Passover lamb moment. I need you to understand this, because the Passover lamb had to be declared without blemish, without spot, without problems. So Pilate, the religious leaders are not willing to declare it, but Pilate declares that Jesus is a worthy Passover lamb. I don't think he knows that he's doing that, but the Passover lamb had to be a young male and to be without spot or blemish. Exodus 12:5. Verse 39, you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. We're talking about the Passover all month leading up to Good Friday. The Passover was a feast celebrating God's mercy, God's deliverance, God's grace. And so that the Jewish people had a custom to remember the mercy and grace of God, that one prisoner would be released undeserved every Passover. And Pilate hears about that, so he says, do you want me, he thinks it's a no-brainer because Jesus is without guilt, do you want me to release the king of the Jews? Like somehow they would cheer and be so happy and excited. And in verse 40, they cried out again, say it out loud with me, not this man, but Barabbas. Mark 15:11 says the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. So the origin of this idea is coming from the religious leaders. The word Barabbas, the word bar means son. The word Abbas means father or daddy. Barabbas, the son of a father. But not God the Father, for Barabbas is a thief. He's a murderer. John 8:44, Satan is a murderer. We know that Satan is a thief. John 10:10, Satan's a thief. He steals what doesn't belong to him. In the cleansing of the temple, Mark 11:17, Jesus says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you've made it a den of robbers." And so here we have a representative of the spiritual condition of the nation of Israel and our own spiritual condition, that we are followers of a father that is not God the Father. We have Barabbas in our spirit, in our soul. We are the we have a different father. The father is a thief, a murderer. His name is Satan. And we have Barabbas, the son of a father. And then we have the Son of God. And the religious leaders said, "We want the thief. We want the murderer. We want the insurrectionist against the Roman." What a contradiction. Jesus is on trial. Pilate, you need to kill this Jesus because he's going to be a danger to the nation of Rome. And yet Barabbas actually tried to overthrow the nation of Rome. So they are choosing Barabbas, who is an obviously spiritually depraved one, representative, by the way, of all of us. And now they are choosing Barabbas. Could I just ask you what your choice is? When you decide not to follow Jesus, what you're saying is, "I want to be a Barabbas. I just want to live in the world of the kingdom of darkness, and I know that it's stealing what God would want me to have, and I know it's killing and destroying what God would have me have, but Barabbas is a thief, and he's a murderer, and he that's the choice." Or you have the Son of God, who is giving his life for you and inviting you into a relationship with God forever and ever. Please bow with me in prayer. Father in heaven, it is so easy for us to maybe be critical of 2,000 years ago and how they missed the moment to know you, to know your Son, the Lord Jesus, the truth that has come. But Lord God, so often in our kingdom life today, we get caught up with our own desires and our own pleasures and our own interests and our own thoughts about what matters. Lord God, would you forgive us, and would you help us in our decision right now to follow Lord Jesus, to follow you as our King and our Lord. Thank you for being that Passover lamb that came pure, without sin, to give his life, to substitute. And Lord God, you took our place on the cross. You did not deserve to die. Barabbas deserved to die, and yet you took his place. Lord God, you took our place as well. So, Lord God, thank you. Help us to never forget your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name.